So how's it going, man?
No, not too bad, not too bad. Rough weekend, but yeah, back at it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, yourself?
Nah, all good. Working weekend, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I've been really thinking a lot about work and careers, and that's an idea for another podcast, I think.
Yeah,
I think because we really need to talk about what it means to be a working professional in South Africa as a millennial.
Yes.
The traditional 9-to-5 thing, all of those questions.
And whether it makes sense. I mean, I remember something that you told me about careers and how it's not your primary place of enjoyment. For you personally, and that you know, it's about getting an income and getting as much of it as possible so that you can then fund the things that give you fulfillment.
Yeah.
And I think it's maybe something we need to talk about one day.
Yeah, we do.
But I mean, I guess to the matter of this morning.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this specifically this past weekend. I just got a place and I'm trying to fit burglar bars.
Yeah.
Right. So a few people have come out to do quotes. And there are two suppliers now that I'm looking at whose work I'm impressed with. The one is, it's a white business. It's a white owned business.
Yeah.
The other guy is a black guy. He works for himself. He's his own business. It's a black guy. Both super professional. Do a great job. The problem is that the black guy charges almost like 8K more than the white guy does. And I don't know whether, I mean, if I wasn't thinking about it, I would just go for the cheapest one.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's the same quality work, etc. But now there's this thing inside me that says, man, I need to support black business.
Yeah.
I need to support black business. So I'm struggling with this whole thing around black business and buying black and how we actually are supposed to do it and how we're supposed to apply it practically. But I think it's something that it's important for us to discuss.
Yeah, that's, you see, I think that's difficult because ideally, in principle, you want to support the black business.
Yeah.
But because of the price, it complicates the situation. It complicates your decision.
Yeah,
that's a difficult one because, like, it leads me to think, okay, why did we come up with a Buy Black campaign?
Yeah.
Is it to deal with circumstances where prices are the same? You know, in the case of like affirmative action, where the candidates have the same qualifications and then we pick the black guy?
Yeah.
Or is it something more than that?
Yeah.
Where even us as consumers have to sacrifice in order to uplift a whole generation of black business.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you though. Mm-hmm. I think that the latter part of what you're saying, because I believe that buying black people supporting black businesses is our contribution to economic transformation.
Yeah.
I think economic transformation is our thing. It's our agenda.
Yeah.
If we're gonna wait for it to happen.
Yeah.
And that happening to be driven by those who are currently in economic power, then I don't think it's gonna happen at the pace that we want it to.
Yeah.
So we have an obligation to forward and champion this economic transformation. And yes, it's gonna be inconvenient, I think. This is my opinion that, you know, I see black businesses, for example, I'll put it practically, there's ladies who sell vegetables on the side of the road, right, in the township. Now, why would I go to Woolies or Pick n Pay to go buy my vegetables there if I can buy the same vegetables, same quality? It's a bit inconvenient for me because now it's not on my way home.
Exactly.
I have to drive to the township to go and buy it there. But by doing so, I'm affording a black person opportunity to progress.
Yeah.
You know,
and there's more of a noble cause to that.
Yes.
Over and above, you know, the money part of it.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you this then. I mean, what do you think is the fix for, you know, black people like us who do it and then feel discouraged? Mm-hmm. Simply because what you're doing is you're supporting black business, but it isn't necessarily on the agenda, on some national government agenda, for example.
Yeah.
You're pretty much just doing it for your own conscience.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm the kind of person, I would love for government to have a Buy Black campaign.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the government underestimates how powerful those things are. If you think in South Africa, how 15 years from now, from today, there used to be a huge stigma against HIV/AIDS patients. And due to, you know, the ABC campaigns, you know, the social attitude towards AIDS has actually kind of shifted. And I strongly believe, like, we need either community projects or government projects that so that we don't feel like we're alone. So that when you have to pay 8,000 rand more, you know that you're part of something bigger, you know? And you can do it more readily.
True. I think I feel you, and I definitely support what you're saying. It does need to come from a national level, so that you feel that what you're doing is actually adding value. I think on a personal note, it does, right? At the end of the day, I'm still supporting a black household. I'm still ensuring that a black parent can put food on the table for a black child, and that a black child can go to school. So I think over and above the fact that we must be part of a wider, more national social responsibility around promoting black business, it should still be a personal decision, a personal thing. An independent thing, regardless of whether government is doing something about it now or not. I think where I start seeing the value of it being national is maybe in a situation where I'm currently in right now, where, you know, I live in a complex where burglar bars need to be fitted, and maybe our body corporate would consider a black business if it was incentivized to, even though it's more expensive. So if there was some sort of a kickback or an advantage to using black business, even if it's expensive, then I think maybe more and more people would come on board. But currently there's nothing that happens nationally. I know that procurement within government favors black businesses, but it comes with its own challenges around corruption and black businesses having to raise their prices so that people can get kickbacks.
And also the pool of business is greater than government, right? Like, you know, we as in everyday consumers face the choice, you know, do we go to this plaza or do we go to ShopRite or whatever the case may be.
I don't know what the solution is. I still think, like, I feel it's everyone's responsibility as an individual, but I definitely get your point around this being a much bigger project, something that is supposed to be driven at a much higher level than what the individuals on the street are going through. Because how do I know if the guy sitting next to me, the black guy sitting next to me,
is doing it?
I don't. Yeah. And can I hold him accountable? Should I hold him accountable?
Exactly.
To what extent?
Not true. It's a tricky one. It's a tricky one. But I just don't see the government doing that enough, you know? I don't even think I've ever... In fact, the phrase "buy black," I don't think I've ever even heard it being said by a government person. It actually always comes from black business and black professionals. Because I also suppose because we're in the environment and we see how our markets are dominated, you know, by white businesses, and we see how our black businesses are actually struggling. And I think how we come to that is because it makes us uncomfortable when we think about the fact that, okay, why is my retirement money, for example, not with a black asset manager? You know, or why am I not buying my groceries from the black retailer? That's where it makes us feel uncomfortable. Because we live in this world and we realize that, you know, we're the privileged few in South Africa, and we should, and, you know, we should be doing our bit
to help. I think maybe there's two things that are hard about supporting black business, despite the fact that at times it's inconvenient, right? There's a reputational thing around, you know, many people saying that the experience of black businesses hasn't been great around the quality of products or quality of service provided. You'll be familiar with how it's so different. Receiving service from one black person, giving service to another black person, is different to when a black person gives it to a white customer.
And we
see that a lot, right? Where as black people, we can relax on service when it comes to serving our own people. But when it comes to serving a white consumer, we up that service. There's just something. And I think it has to do with a deeper problem around what apartheid really has done to even the minds of black people, around how we appreciate one another. I feel like in the beginning, like reading this book, My Own Liberator by Dikgang Moseneke, is I feel like they lived in a time where black people just really appreciated one another more or respected one another more, I think. And now things have become much more relaxed. And I think that's part of the problem is you go and support a black business, but the experience isn't that great.
Mm.
But I still think then there's a social responsibility on black consumers to then give that feedback.
Yes.
And challenge black business owners and black service providers to give better service to black consumers.
I agree. Because, you know, what you're saying is a lot of people complain about
yes.
That's the sort of service that they get.
Yes.
But I do agree as well that it's our problem. We, you know, as consumers, we have to be the ones that push them,
yeah,
and help them become better businesses, you know, and they in turn have to take that on,
yeah,
and actually, or not just being better businesses, being better, you know, service professionals,
yes,
in the businesses they work in,
yeah,
and have them having to take that on and actually implementing it,
yeah,
you know, and being part of having it being part of their service offering. It's interesting what you said about, you know, the psyche during apartheid and everything.
Yeah.
I think so. I think maybe people appreciated each other more then, because maybe they were sort of all in the same situation and
yeah,
they saw each other suffering together.
Yeah, yeah.
And they sort of saw themselves as one.
Yeah.
Whereas now, the black society in South Africa is very much class divided.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
There's an underclass of people who are poor.
Yeah.
Then there is a working class of people.
Yeah.
Then you've got, you know, this emerging middle class.
Yeah.
And everyone either looks at the other class above or below them, you know, with, you know, a bit of jealousy,
yeah,
or, you know, a bit of, you know, I've done better than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe that's gotten to us. Yeah. You know? We're not in the same situations anymore,
yeah,
and we see each other differently,
yeah,
you know, even though, you know, it shouldn't be that way at all.
It's such a challenge. I mean, it's such a challenge because I think it is a very mental thing. I think it is a very close psyche thing that where the problem actually lies. But I mean, let me ask you a personal question. Let me ask you a very personal question. Why is it that you're not fighting for your retirement money to be managed by a black asset manager?
I think, like you said, it's a reputation thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's almost privilege on privilege on privilege.
Yeah.
It's because the asset manager that I'm with now is a white asset manager, and
yeah,
I know that they've got a long, long track record. They've got that advantage, and you know, and I'm giving my money to them,
yeah,
you know, giving them more of an advantage, privilege on privilege on privilege.
Yeah.
But when I think about it, I should be approaching it differently.
Yeah.
You know, if I am serious about buying black and about playing my part in transforming South Africa, I should be doing that. I think
you should be. I should be.
Mm.
Right? It's a matter of, I think the reason why we don't do it now is the black asset managers aren't as popular. They
yeah,
don't have the long track records. They don't have the fancy offices.
Yeah.
They basically, we don't completely trust that they'll
yes,
do a great job.
Yeah.
With our retirement money,
mm,
we don't completely trust them. But where does that come from? Why have they done anything not to earn our trust?
Nothing at all.
I think it's because we want to be part of, you know, going back to that first point, we want to be part of something big,
mm,
as opposed to being satisfied with making an individual contribution to this agenda. If it's really important to us, we shouldn't aim to be part of something because it's a big thing, because
mm,
it's a national thing. If it's important to you and I to support black business, then we should be supporting black business.
Mm.
We should be trusting black asset managers with our money.
Yeah.
We should be going out of our way to support a black vegetable seller who has their store on the side of the road, as opposed to a pick and pay where we're going to get vitality points from Discovery.
Mm.
If it's an individual thing that we individually care about, I think, though, the majority of us as black people in South Africa, black consumers, is we want it to be a big national thing that's driven from the top, and then only we'll join. Why can't we be the ones that drive that? Why can't we be the ones that push it, that put in the legwork?
Mm.
I firmly believe that if we don't do it, then it's going to take a very long time to actually start, whereas we can be the people that started.
Mm. And we're in the best position to.
We are.
No, I agree. You know, and as I think about it, I'm feeling a little guilty because there are many things
yeah,
that every month I spend my money on
yeah,
whether it's like contractual things or whether it's just things everyday, ad hoc purchases, that I could be making more of a conscious decision to support a black business, and make sure that I'm actually part of transforming, because really, like, you're absolutely right. If we're going to wait for it to be a critical mass and then join, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. And where's the beauty in that? You know, I think the more we do it, the more it'll mean to us.
Yeah.
So if I'm constantly going out of my way to support black businesses, it's going to start inconveniencing me, right? I need to now start building my life around it.
Mm.
And I think the more I do that, the more noise I'll make about it.
Mm.
I think the more pressure I'll put on other black people to support black businesses.
Yeah.
But currently, I think because we don't necessarily do it, we have the odd conversation about it every now and then.
Mm.
But what has actually changed? How long have we been talking about buying black? How long have we been talking about radical economic transformation in this country? But no one is actually doing it. We're talking about it, and we're complaining that those in power, those who are white, should do something about it, but we're not doing anything about it ourselves. I think if Cedric is gonna constantly wake up and say, my breakfast I'm not going to buy from the company, I'm going to find someone who is a black business owner who sells food, and I'm going to buy my breakfast there.
Mm.
I'm going to buy my clothing from a black retailer. I'm going to buy my shoes. I'm going to support a black person when it comes to things where I can.
Yeah.
Right? Where for instance, like fuel. You know, it's a completely different story.
Exactly.
Right?
It's not like
it's a place where black people have gone into.
Yeah.
Where the money ultimately puts on the table of a black person food. But if I made it my objective that every single purchase where I can goes to a black person, I feel it'll become such an inconvenience for me, but also such a great part of my life that I'll be an advocate for it. It'll bother me that much.
Because you've got, you know, that's, to borrow business language, kind of a sweat equity into the movement.
Exactly. Exactly. I think it needs to start with us. If it's going to go anywhere, it's going to go anywhere, it needs to start with us. And I believe that if we do start it, we'll encourage more and more black consumers to follow.
Why do you think it's difficult to find black businesses or to find black alternatives?
Sure, it's a good question. Look, I mean, I know of apps that you can download.
Yes.
Like there's the Buy Black app.
There's the Brown Sense app as well.
Brown Sense.
I don't know if they have an app, but they've got a brilliant model of where they, you know, how they...
How does it actually work? I mean, I've heard of Brown Sense, but how does it actually work?
So my understanding is it's a website
that
lists, it's like a classified of black businesses.
Yeah.
And I've been on the website and it lists them according to category of work. And it's a great thing.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant thing. But I'm just wondering, why is it so difficult? Is it because we tend to buy products from traditional suppliers that are already in our faces, you know? That, like, if you want to go buy groceries, there's pretty much, you'll go to either one of four supermarkets.
Yeah.
And that's just already in your routine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's where it is. You know, and obviously there's that trust part of it.
Yeah.
Where you're just thinking, you know, should I not? Are they good enough?
I think it goes a little bit deeper than that. I think it's also just how the economy was structured to specifically exclude black business, right?
Mm.
So going back to the example around supermarkets and where you buy your groceries, you know, the four major supermarkets or brands or stores have economies of scale, so it means that they are able, I mean, they have direct deals and links with the providers of products, so they get better rates, they can provide you with better deals, they have reward programs, they're linked to your medical aid.
So difficult to compete with those guys.
How do you compete with those guys? Mm. I think the black businesses, they don't have enough scale, they don't have enough support, enough capital to be in our faces like the others are.
Mm.
They're not on your way to work, you know, they're not convenient.
They're not at the taxi rank.
The banks don't reward you for shopping there.
Mm.
You know, you don't get U-Count rewards, e-bucks, vitality points, the things that drive, you know, that drive the service models behind the big corporates. That is just like, it's so connected nowadays to a point where I think black businesses have been completely locked out of the grid.
Yeah, because, wow, I've never thought of it like that, but, you know, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. Completely locked out of the grid.
It's hard for them to come in because they don't, one, they don't have the capital to come in that type of manner. But secondly, like, we aren't supporting them either. We're not making it easy for them to come into this type of industry. We should be the ones that are saying no to e-bucks, no to Vitality Point and U-Count rewards and Pick and Pay shopper rewards. Because I feel like that is the price that we're selling black businesses out for. It's because it's convenient for me to be stacking up rewards points that I can spend at that retailer again. That is the price that I'm paying to exclude black business.
Yeah. I think there's an, I think we need to balance, you know, consumerism and consumer rights with this very moral and sort of ethical future that we espouse, you know, that we want to see. And I don't know how difficult that is. Like, for example, I use Vitality Points. Primarily because of my consumerism focus.
Yes.
The fact that I want discounts on flights.
Yes.
And all of these other things.
Yes.
And at the moment, that still outweighs, obviously, my commitment to, you know, to buying black.
Yes.
And I'm just trying to work out in my head which one should be stronger, which one should outweigh the other. And I think that if we want a long-term future that's positive for black people and for black business, then obviously buying black today far outweighs the, any, you know, amount of rewards points you can rack up today.
Exactly.
Because then you're securing not only a better life for yourself in a few years to come, but, you know, potentially for your children and your and your children's children as well, because then you're strengthening the society, you're strengthening black society.
You definitely are. Consumerism, I think, is there. You can't hide it. You can't run away from it. But to answer your question, I think that ethical nature in each one of us should be the predominant voice. It should be the louder voice. We, or at least I won't speak for black people. I think for myself, it's because it's inconvenient. It's because it's such a schlep. It's because there's a bigger social responsibility on me as a consumer. I know that if I go to a Pick and Pay and I get bad service, you know, I'm unlikely to get bad service.
Yeah.
Right. But if I do, there's a complaints procedure. This and this ultimately doesn't lie with me to fix the problem.
Yeah.
But I think with a lot of black business, the onus is on the consumer most times to be the one that fixes the service levels. Because as black people, we need to say to black business owners, hey, dude, you know, your service is not up to par.
Yeah.
I'm supporting you because you're a black business, and therefore I expect that the service you're going to give me is going to be superior.
Yeah.
And if you want to see me come back here again, if you want to see more consumers come back here again, this is how you should do it. I think there needs to be an investment on black consumers that support black businesses.
Yeah.
From a social point of view, to also uplift these black businesses. They're not as fortunate as what the big corporates are.
So I essentially saying we should be able to give them a break.
Yes.
Every now and then.
Give them a break, yes, but it goes beyond just giving someone a break and just accepting bad service. It goes back to demanding great service and good quality products, but also playing a part in that happening.
Right.
We need to be involved. We need to get our hands dirty in black businesses too. It almost needs to feel as if you're a co-owner of black business. Because we are co-owners of economic transformation.
Yeah.
Right? And we need to get our hands dirty. No one is going to do it for us. You know, black businesses, this Paza shop, they don't have an HR department that's going to fix things when service is not where it's supposed to be. It's up to the consumer to say, you know, the products are expired. The service I'm getting is not great. The area in which I come in is not clean. It's up to us to have a vested interest in those businesses in order to improve them so that they grow. Because if you think about the reasons why we go back to the same shopping centers, to the same places where we constantly buy things, because the service we got was great, the prices were good, there was a great experience you had as a customer. And I think part of the reason we don't support black businesses is because all of those elements aren't there in black businesses at times, right? So like back to my example around getting someone to do my burglar bars, I saw four black businesses, guys who came to do measurements, gave me quotations. And some of those guys, like one guy came in and he hadn't taken a bath or he hadn't, you know, put on deo, whatever the case may be, but he didn't respect me enough as a consumer, as a client, to come in there.
To arrive clean.
Clean, you know, on time, to give me great service. He didn't deem that important. And as a result, it has to be my prerogative to then say, give him feedback and say, listen, these are some of the reasons why I wouldn't use you. As a provider, as a supplier. And these are some of the reasons why I would then go and use a white-owned business. Right? And going back to my thing around, my dilemma now is, do I pay a premium for supporting black business because it's the right thing to do? And at the same time, have the conversation with the black business owner and say, look, here's a comparative quote from a white-owned business. They're willing to give me a cheaper rate, but I'm going to give you the business, even though you're more expensive. But here's some non-negotiables. And making sure that I get what I pay for.
I love that idea because then you kind of fulfill both supporting black business, while, as you said so brilliantly, co-owning the transformation agenda, and saying, look, if we're going to transform this country, you need to understand that we're share owners of this thing, and this is how I'd like you to improve your service. I think that's a great way, and it's a very noble way, because you actually rise above your consumerist tendency, you know, of going for the cheaper option, which is amazing. You know, it so few of us actually have the foresight to understand what that will do. When a million South Africans start doing that, and start giving economies of scale to black businesses, to the point where they can actually go and compete with a Trellidor or a Mexidor, you know, because that's what it's going to take, really. Like, you know, I know I started by saying it needs to be a bigger thing. It needs to sort of come from government and all of that. And I still think that there's a place for that, but over and above that, as consumers, we still need to be the ones that are buying the products. You know, because that's what makes the everyday change.
Think about this, right? What happened back in the times of apartheid when black people didn't want to cooperate? They would put sanctions, right, on South Africa. And we wouldn't be able to sell our products. How is it that we can't take that same principle as co-owners of economic transformation and say, as black consumers, we want to get our products from black business owners, and we can put sanctions.
We're going to sanction on the rest of the businesses.
Exactly. We can go to government and say, you know, we need more black businesses because we are only going to support black businesses. You know, we are not going to be paying a white business to do what a black business can do. Because this is us then taking charge of economic transformation. We can do exactly the same thing. If we have numbers behind us, if we have capital behind us, we can force government to consider this Buy Black initiative a much bigger thing towards economic transformation than what they're currently doing. But it starts with the individual. It starts with us. It starts with us understanding that this is an ethical thing that each of us has a responsibility to uphold. Away from it being the right thing to do, away from it being you know, something that needs to come out of government, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do to secure not only a future for our kids and their kids, but if we want to see a change in South Africa, if we want to not end up like other countries where it happened at such a fast rate, it was so radical that the rest of the world basically said, look, we're not going to be supporting Zimbabwe at all. Right? We're gonna let this thing reset.
And you know, Cedric, I think as South Africans, we are a strange people.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, I'm gonna generalize quite a bit here, yeah. But I think, you know, it will make sense still. If you think pre-94,
yeah.
You could separate black people from white people and how they thought.
Yes.
Because black people were the oppressed.
Yes.
They were burdened with imagining the country in a different light.
Yeah.
And imagining the country in a better light on sort of very ethical principles.
Yeah.
Because they were bearing the brunt of unethical practices being
yes.
done to them. And they had to imagine things, you know, better.
Yeah.
You had the white population on the other hand, who, because they were in a position of privilege, it didn't matter to most of them so much the ethical nature of what was happening on.
Yes.
But they certainly wanted to keep, you know, the consumerist advantages, the business advantages, and, you know, the sort of other privileges that they've had.
Yeah.
When you fast forward now 20 years after, and we've and some of us as black people have kind of flipped,
yeah,
and we're on this side now, yeah. Where we're thinking we're actually not thinking it from a noble and ethical perspective anymore.
Yeah.
We're being consumerist about
yeah.
it,
yeah.
And we're saying this guy costs $8,000 more,
yeah.
Therefore I'm going to go with this other guy.
Yeah.
Whereas 20 years from now, in the same situation, you might have been saying, listen,
yeah.
I'm going to go with this guy, even
yeah.
though they're cheaper or they're more expensive.
Yes.
But because I understand that we're in this situation of suffering together,
yes.
I'm going to support you.
Yes.
And we think that after 94, we're not in that situation anymore. When the truth is, in very subtle ways, and these pervasive ways,
yes.
we are still in the same,
we
you
are.
Know, you know?
We are.
And it's very interesting for me, because I tend to think that for white business and white corporate, I'm not necessarily keen on educating them on the ethical responsibility that they have to transform the country.
Yeah.
I tend to think that because even pre-94, they were driven by consumerism and profits,
yes,
and
yes.
all of that. In order to help them transform,
yeah.
we should just make it unprofitable to be untransformed, and not worry about teaching them the not worried about teaching them
yeah,
the ethical
yeah.
responsibility that they have, or the you
it
know
cost
why it's more. It must just cost them money
yeah.
to be untransformed.
Yes.
Whereas, from what you're saying, for black people, we almost need to reinforce the other side of it, the
yes.
ethical side of it,
yes.
to sort of remind one another and
yes.
say, listen,
yes.
I know that from a consumerist point of view, it makes sense to buy from the white business,
yeah.
but you of all people, as a black person,
yeah.
actually need to understand it from a moral and ethical point,
yeah.
to say you have to play a part in, you know, in you are the co-owner.
You're a co-owner of transformation.
Of transformation.
I think the challenge for us as well is you know, until our next podcast is seeing how we can deliberately start doing that.
Yeah.
So we can maybe chat about the challenges that we face
yeah.
trying to do that. I mean, I'm going to have to go back now to this guy who gave me this quote and say, listen, I do want to use you.
Yeah.
Maybe we negotiate price. Maybe it's actually because the fact that I can't really afford to pay $8,000 more.
Mm.
But let me go back to the drawing board and say, but I can afford maybe to pay $4,000 more.
Mm.
If it means that I get to help a black business progress.
Yeah.
Right. But then having the discussion with him, sitting down with him, ensuring that he understands that we're both co-owners of economic transformation, what we're trying to do. Because I don't mind paying more if I can afford to, but knowing that
yeah.
I've done something
yeah.
to push forward this agenda of economic transformation. I love your point around making corporate South Africa, white corporate South Africa, pay if they are not transformed. Because then I think the way that we're doing it, if you think about it, you know, is indirectly going to do that.
Mm.
White businesses will become more unprofitable if we stop supporting
when
them.
When we start buying black.
We start buying black, they'll become much less profitable.
Yeah.
And we make it deliberate.
Mm.
We make them know that because you're untransformed, I am not going to use you as a service provider.
Mm.
And I'm going to go support somebody else. I think it just needs to be clear that it is very unprofitable. And
because that's the only way they change behavior.
That's the only thing they care about, to be honest, right? To put it bluntly, that is the only thing they
care
about.
Bottom line.
And if you think about where the assets have come from, how a lot of these businesses have now come to be who they are, it's from injustices of the past. I really feel, I mean, I'm going to stray a little bit from the topic, but I feel that even myself as a Black South African, I don't know and understand as much as I should around how we got to this economy being the way that it is. And that is why I think it's such a great thing reading My Own Liberator, reading The Land Is Ours, reading material and educating myself on what it was like. What it was like for people that came before me that lived in times of apartheid, how oppressed they were. Because it's invigorated in me the sense of camaraderie, the sense of, man, I want to help Black businesses.
Yeah.
We've been through a lot as a Black people.
Mm.
I may not have necessarily been there, but I'm a recipient of that.
Yeah.
Right? I am where I am in the
You're
position.
You're descendants of Shaga and Nongqawuse, whether you like it or not.
I am. And by understanding what they went through, by understanding where we come from as a people, by understanding the injustices of the past, it gives me some sort of motivation. You know, more than motivation, I think it just really inspires me to want to see the Black race progress, because we haven't been given that opportunity for a long time. And now that we have it, I feel we're squandering it, actually.
Mm.
Now that we're in a position where things are not by any means equal, but now we also have power.
Yeah.
How we choose to use that power is going to determine what the next 20 years is going to look like in this country.
Mm.
Right? Because the stalwarts that came before us, your Dehang Mosenekes, your Nelson Mandela, your Walter Sisulu's, they used that very, very wisely. They knew. They hated the apartheid regime so much. They were unashamed of making the decisions that needed to be made in their time to advance Black people. Dehang Mosenekes and some of his partners, they set up a law firm that is going to deal specifically with the issues that Black people face, because there was nowhere else they could go. I feel that we owe it to them. In the same way that the roles were turned back then.
Mm.
Black people could only go to the Dehangs if they wanted their matter to be resolved, right? Now we're in a position where we can go anywhere. We have this freedom to go anywhere. But I think, even though we have this freedom, we should still choose to go to the likes of Black businesses.
We should.
Why did that loyalty change? We wanted to be in the whites-only queue as well and completely abandoned the fact that now we're in a situation where the whites-only queue and the blacks-only queue have similar things to offer, right?
Mm.
The blacks-only queue is owned by Black business.
Mm.
And it is Black business, but we felt like we want what white people have so badly.
But Cedric, do you think maybe our generation of parents never educate? And I understand that, or maybe let me say, it may seem like it's a bit of too much of a burden to educate your child on group politics, right?
Mm.
But, or is it? Because it would seem to me that maybe at some point along the lines from the 76 generation to us, and maybe the generation after that, they said to themselves, let's let go of identity politics and group politics.
Yeah.
And because of that, we grew up in this new South Africa without understanding that, as much as we haven't been deliberately told, these group politics still exist, you know?
Yeah.
We work in corporate South Africa where they're there.
Yeah.
You know, whether you like it or not, whether you like it or not, at some point you learn that there are groups of companies that are traditionally Afrikaans, and that's how things are operated, or that are traditionally Jewish.
Yes.
And you start to realize all of these things. And then when you look at the people in those groups that are our generation, and you start to realize, well, hang on, a lot of them have actually been taught
exactly
this thing. And being taught that thing is not necessarily a bad thing.
It's not.
It's, you know, you were taught the group politics of your group.
Yes.
And I don't know that we've done that as Blacks.
I feel you.
I don't think that we've done that. I think we kind of let go.
Yeah.
We thought, you know, it now everything has sorted itself out.
Yeah.
when actually that was the time to say, actually, now that the country's open,
yeah,
now's the time to reinforce those group politics, yes, and make sure that as black people, we're growing and uplifting, you know,
one another. Because you're right, because those group politics do exist, and I can tell you something, those groups are unashamed,
yeah,
of it, right? I don't think we should not be ashamed of rallying around one another and forming a group that is productive, that is for and is pro-black.
Mm.
Not that it is anti-white, but it is pro-black.
It's pro-black.
It's black first, right?
Yeah.
I think we should be, one, unashamed about doing that, because it almost seems to me we, you know, with all due respect, and I may be coming from a point where I don't completely understand, we are the ones who are oppressed, yet we are the ones that are now responsible for building this rainbow nation,
mm,
of fixing the injustices. Yet we were the oppressed.
I feel you. I've got a whole theory about how black people have the biggest hearts in the world.
We do.
I think there's no one who's more... Like, black people just care, man.
Yeah.
Like, we can't help ourselves, you know? Like, yeah, we care about the person yeah, next to us. Even though, as in case in point, it means making something that's economically not a good choice, you just care, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas some other people, if it doesn't really affect them, you know, they won't care about it.
We care more about equality, I think, than most people do.
We do care.
When we shouldn't.
But let me ask you a question. More now, I think we can agree in principle, you know, what needs to be done.
Yeah.
We can imagine the kind of country that we want to have.
Yes.
In terms of how we go about doing it, tact, strategy.
Yeah.
If you look at, for example, at these other group politics that we were speaking about, the how they go about it is more under carpet.
Yeah.
so to speak.
Yeah.
It's more, it's not like how black, you know, black people, we love rallies, you
yes,
know, like,
yes.
you know, press Rapid, conferences,
yeah,
marches and all of these things. Obviously,
vocal,
we've inherited all of the, like, a way of creating awareness for at least 50 years in South Africa, from apartheid picketing and all of that.
Yeah.
But is there a way to do it such that it's kind of low key, in the same way that these other groups are kind of low key?
Yeah.
And you kind of only discover it when you dig.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because I may be on a slippery slope here, but sometimes black consumers look from the outside in and they see this movement that may be championed by one person that's rallying and doing all these popular things. And even that may cause some black people to shy away a little bit and say, ooh, okay, I don't know, let me just wait it out and see what this buy black thing is about, you know, anyway, before I start going.
Yeah.
Let me use my vitality in the meantime.
Yeah.
Like, do you think there's a way we could do it differently?
Yeah.
Because, as I said, black people, we love mass gatherings.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm sorry to pick on them, but I mean, something like the Black Management Forum, for example, you know, is a great example of guys that are saying the right thing.
Yeah.
They're shouting loud from the mountaintops.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're gathering loads and loads of black professionals.
Yeah.
And not that the burden is on them, it's really on the companies of their members.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to draw a thread of success from that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. You know, I feel two things I wanted to say on your point is that, one, there's nothing wrong with having that low-key, under the carpet,
yeah,
not in front of everyone thing.
Yeah.
So I think the way that the organizations and the groups that we know of, whether it's the Jewish population, whether it is the white Afrikaans population, where things are not out there for everyone,
yeah,
to see. It's, and my second point is that it's a culture.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a culture of, this is how we do things.
Okay.
This is how we do things.
Mm.
And when people come into those groups, they teach them the culture. It's the same thing that we have a culture in the company that we work for.
Yeah.
You come in and they teach you the culture and they keep hammering on how this culture is important to the success of this of the firm, right? And I believe it. It's true.
Yes.
Because that culture then also, it weeds out people. There's some people that can't stand for the culture and they leave.
Yeah.
There's some people that buy into the culture so much, they know their place and they won't move from their place, and
yeah,
they're okay and content with their place. And I feel that is probably something that as Black people we also need to develop. I think it was there. I don't know where it was lost. We had a spirit of Ubuntu. This thing around Ubuntu and how it is that, you know, you are not just your mother's child. You are the child of every single adult on that street.
Mm.
And no one would let you do something disrespectful and just walk away and let you do whatever you wanted. You are disciplined by anyone who was old enough
to
be your parent.
They all had a right to discipline.
They had a right. and that helped us so much because I think we were raised by those types of communities. And you look at the people that came out of those communities.
Mm.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant people. But I think now, because the walls are much higher, because we got our hands on money, you know, people start living very exclusive lives.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel, and I get this more and more from this book that I'm reading, that there was a time when, just as Black people, we would gather, we would talk, discuss, and say, this is how we're going to do things. And each person would walk away and do that.
Yeah.
And I feel that's probably something we need to do, especially with this Buy Black initiative, is that we talk about it. It doesn't have to be in the limelight. You know, it doesn't have to be in the limelight. It doesn't have to be something that is huge and there's a great, you know, it's a big campaign. Gathering a few people in a room and saying, this is how we want to do things. This is the culture. And then letting the rest of the world start to see it, I think is a much stronger thing than saying, hey, this is Buy Black, this is what we're going to do. And then falling flat and being disgraced.
I kind of agree, actually. Rather than, you know, shouting from the rooftops, you know. It should be a movement that's there, but sort of on a building block basis,
yes,
from the center outwards.
It's a culture. It's a culture. You know, we start living it, we go and teach others how to live it.
Mm.
We start doing it. The word gets out. If you need someone who does burglar bars, I know someone who can do burglar bars for you. If you need someone who does this, that's how I think we're going to start supporting these Black businesses. That's how I think we're going to start leading transformation in the economy in a very deliberate and powerful way.
What's interesting, okay, first, actually what I want to do, what I actually want us to do, let's find some of these websites,
yeah,
that these Buy Black hubs, and let's actually like go through them. Like, I know there's like, I don't know if there's that many of them.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel bad about sort of putting them on the spotlight,
yeah,
and like,
yeah,
talking about them.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I think it would be useful to just use them out a little bit, get a feel for,
yeah,
the kind of businesses that are on there,
yeah,
how wide the variety is, because,
yeah,
I have a suspicion that maybe the variety of things that are on there might not be that wide
in terms of skills,
products, you
services
know,
provided.
Or maybe the problem isn't with them. The problem is with the fact that there aren't any Black businesses in those,
yeah,
areas.
Yeah,
you know, just as a tool,
yeah,
that the everyday person, you and I, can use,
yeah,
and to maybe, you know, look at how do these websites fare up. You know, you're telling me now about an app for discounts and,
yeah,
and you know,
yeah,
all of these things.
Yeah.
There's no reason why, you know, we shouldn't have the same kind of idea,
yeah,
for a Buy Black app.
Yeah. Yeah, no, of course. I think, yeah, we've got a couple of things to do until our next podcast. The most powerful thing I think we can do is try and do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something that we are doing. Let's talk about something that we've gone out and gone to go experience ourselves, and then we can come back and share how the experience has been, and maybe we can share a bit around some of those apps, some of those websites,
yeah,
and our experiences. But I think going forward, the point I think I just wanted to make is I believe that we are co-owners of economic transformation.
Agreed.
And as co-owners, we need to do our bit.
Yeah.
Each one of us.
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly on that one, Sid.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we leave it at that?
Let's leave it at that. Until next time.
Till next time.
Yeah.
Sure.